Welcome back to another episode of Let's Remake a Movie. Prepare to have your mind blown by horrendous plot lines, unforgivable mashups, and so many explosions. Podcast not sponsored by Michael Bay. Suit up, strap in, and let's remake a movie.
All right, so we're doing Saw with the famous people. So let's go over the cast of the famous people that we're going to include here, like the craziest actors around. I think we had suggested.
Now, is it crazy actors, or is it actors that like deserve to be punished for one reason or another?
We're doing like the most notorious psychotic actors that are like crazy in real life.
Like crazy method actors. Okay.
I was going to say we could kill two birds with one stone and put in Mel Gibson. Because he's insane. Oh, yeah. He's insane.
I
probably
think he was in the
it.
Original plan, right?
Oh, yeah. He was. Yeah.
He just, does he just start trying to direct it? And that's why, like, I don't know.
Maybe he wants there to be more violence.
Specifically against some of the more ethnic cast members.
Oh, God. This is already turning into a calamity.
Yeah. It's not my fault. Mel Gibson's a racist.
I know he is, but this
well,
is just
it's perfect because Jigsaw's going to be M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, God. They worked together in a movie, though. They worked together.
They did
in
what?
Also, it is important
Signs.
Yeah, Signs.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
One of the good ones.
Yeah, the last good one. I just got to say, these movies are sadistic. They're just carnage born.
Yes. Yes, they are, Connor. Alert the media.
Alert the media. Yes.
See, that's why I like horror movies when they have lore and a very succinct plot based in like the supernatural. But when it's pure gore fest, or if it's, to be honest, based on like any Japanese gore, I find that the gore factor is instantly exponential in it, and I have a very difficult time watching it.
Laura, I think we're in the same boat, so this is an interesting episode because we have two people who are clear fans of this material, and then two people
probably my favorite horror series,
and then Laura, you and I are like, yeah, this ain't our thing necessarily. So this will be interesting.
Oh, God, the comment section is going to be awful.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite horror series per se, but I will say what I admire most, you know, in a way, it's what I admire most about all horror movies is the creativity insofar as I always find it fascinating the ways that people find to be cruel to each other, whether it's, you know, in, you know, creating a monster or killing somebody or, you know, like Laura said, creating some sort of dark lore behind it.
Yeah.
You know, I always find that fascinating, the creativity behind it. I, for one, do like a human killer.
Of all of the serial killers that are not supernatural based, the Jigsaw Killer is one of the most meticulously planned out motherfuckers that I've come in contact with.
See, what's interesting in the series too, you know, if you watch the movies, John Kramer, he always gives his victims a way to escape. But later on in the series, other people try to replicate him because he dies. I think he dies at the end of 3, right, Sean?
He dies at the end of 3, and then we get a few flashbacks and some apprentices carrying on his work through recordings that he has made.
But some of the people that try to replicate his killings, they don't give the victims a way to escape. So John Kramer, in a way, he thinks of it as like a rehabilitation of the person if they escape, basically. So it's really weird. So is he really a killer? Like, obviously, yes. But like, it's a kind of a philosophical.
Yes, it's the narcissism that he displays insofar as his whole thing is, well, I didn't kill them. I just, you know,
gave them a choice,
gave them a way to die. His whole philosophy is, those who do not appreciate life do not deserve it.
Right.
So to translate this into like our world, to take that same artistic component, we've already determined from pre-casting, which is our right, that M. Night Shyamalan is playing Jigsaw.
Yes, right? But do the actors who are captive know that it's M. Night Shyamalan?
No, because not just like first, in the movie, he hides his face by pretending to be a corpse so they don't recognize care who he is. And so I think that M. Night Shyamalan doesn't get to make a lot of movies nowadays. His brand of movie is just like taken for granted with its genius twists and it's like, you know, intricate woven plot lines. And so he's not making very many movies anymore. And he's super jealous of the bullshit Hollywood elite who get to make like National Treasure 6 and this other shit. So he decides to enact his revenge on the Hollywood elite.
First off, a couple of things. One, National Treasure 6 is not nearly as good as Pineapple Express 4. which was a previous episode in which we redid Seth Rogen doing Inception, where
nominated for something.
It was nominated for several Academy Awards, including Adam Driver for Best Supporting Actor.
Best Supporting Actor.
but also, what is everybody's favorite M. Night Shyamalan movie? I'm going Lady in the Water.
Oh my gosh! Thank you. Yes.
Glass for me. Glass is my favorite.
Oh really? I thought. Listen, it's Lady in the Water by a smidge over Last Airbender. By a smidge over Last Airbender.
Oh my God! Oh, Jesus.
We are not speaking of that bullshit.
So, Laura.
My favorite M. Night Shyamalan is gotta be The Village.
Oh, I would go Unbreakable. Narrowly
Joaquin
over Six
Phoenix. It's got like subtle, scary acting, and it's all about the fear of the unknown and the outside and about one woman's bravery. And I just love it. It's so scary good.
I would go with Unbreakable narrowly and then Sixth Sense. But I love both of those. And Signs is great too.
Yeah, I would say Signs might be my favorite because it's very bizarre because I was scared of my own shadow as a child. Like everything was terrifying to me. I was basically Chucky Finster. and now I've grown up to be, you know, somebody who really enjoys horror films. But, you know, I remember watching Signs with my friend at a sleepover. We were maybe, you know, 10, 11 years old, something like that. And just being scared shitless about just the sort of creeping dread. It wasn't based on jump scares. It was just that sort of low
inevitability.
That slow creeping doom that, you know, came with it.
Okay, so here's because M. Night, especially in his peak years, his good movies, all four, you know, the first four or so, were they were more subtle and not necessarily reliant on jump scares. So what if M. Night tries to like lead people on with scares as Jigsaw rather than just going into the carnage porn, because maybe he resents the carnage porn and he tries to kind of slowly but surely torture.
Yeah, he's trying to prove that his method of directing a scary movie with the slow scare,
yes,
and the psychological thriller is better than the Michael Bay bullshit jump scares.
And I will say that the first Saw movie, which most people rightfully consider to be the best of them, it is exactly that sort of slow burn vibe with some, you know, really intense gore thrown in. But if you go through the series, it really, you know, in a weird way, as gore porn as it is, there's really not a lot of jump scares. You know, there's one or two when Pigface jumps out in the first one, but beyond that, you know, it really is either, you know, the gore porn or the sort of, you know, creeping inevitability of something terrible is about to happen.
Okay. And also the scariest thing is what human beings are willing to do to each other to survive.
Yes, that's right. That's one of the things. So he pits these people and he makes them desperate, and then they have to destroy each other in order to survive. So How does M. Night try to torture these people slowly, twisting the knife?
I think we need to pick the actors first.
Yes.
Who are we torturing?
Mel Gibson.
Jim Carrey.
Okay.
Nicolas Cage.
The fact that you guys said that together.
Roseanne Barr.
Who's an actor, an actress, I would think, because we got enough guys. Who's like Lindsay an actress Lohan? Who... has, yeah, maybe, who's hit it big, but like doesn't deserve all the hype that she gets. And I would say, yeah, maybe Lindsay Lohan. Yeah.
Well, like, I feel like, because the thing is, Lindsay Lohan was overhyped like in the mid 2000s. And then when she became a train wreck, she was just like, I feel like now people just associate her as a train wreck. But I mean, I wouldn't be against putting her in this.
Maybe one of the Kardashians.
Oh, what? No, we should totally put Kim in here. We should totally like.
All right.
Which one's Kim? Is she the one with her own makeup line, or is she the one married to the famous guy?
She's married to Kanye West. She took the picture of her pouring champagne over her head onto a glass on her butt.
Laura,
she had sex with Ray J on a video.
Laura, I admire you not knowing anything about those damn people.
Yeah, like, I do too. Like,
okay, so funny story. So there are two families of famous actors that if you put them in front of me in a lineup, gun to my head, jigsaw style, I could not tell you who was who, even if it was to save my sister. I don't know. I cannot identify any of the Kardashians or why they are famous. And I also cannot identify a Jonas brother. I don't know who they are. I get them confused with Zac Efron all the time. I don't know the difference.
Wait. You sent us a text about a week ago when we mentioned somebody and you said, is that a Jonas brother? You were being serious.
I thought that was a joke. Yeah.
I went to see
The Greatest Showman. Huge fan of Hugh Jackman. Love the P.T. Barnum stories. And this guy walks out on screen. I'm like, the last time I saw a kid that looks just like that, he was on the Disney Channel. And I turned to Joe and I was like, is that a Jonas? Is that what they look like? And he's like, that's Zac Efron. I'm like, so not a Jonas brother. Was he in Twilight? And he's like, oh my God, I love you. You cannot identify any of these people. I could not tell.
Honestly, so Kim Kardashian, we'll just fill you in, Laura. Kim Kardashian's a trashy reality star who was only famous because she had sex on camera one time and then milked it for a reality TV career.
And her dad defended OJ while her mom slept with him.
I forgot about that part.
Yep.
But that's the thing. Okay, so Kim Kardashian's in this. So we got Mel Gibson, Nick Cage, Jim Carrey, Kim Kardashian.
Gary Busey.
Why not have Gary Busey in there?
It is so sad to see what a good actor he used to be.
He was awesome back in the day. Yeah, what if we have
an accident?
Oh, and I have a good final. I have a good final person for this. Maybe we might need one more actress, but just an actor, Christian Bale.
Oh, good, just freaking the fuck out.
Oh my God, yeah, and he's just like.
Remember that we have to kill all of these people too.
Not necessarily, because some of Jigsaw's victims do later become apprentices because they survived.
Okay, so should we let Christian Bale live then?
Well, here's the other thing.
Maybe Christian Bale is already M. Night Shyamalan's apprentice.
That's a good twist. I like that.
He helps lure some of these actors in.
He's the Amanda Young of the series.
Wouldn't Mel Gibson be more likely to be M. Night's apprentice because he directed him already?
Yeah, but Mel Gibson doesn't like ethnic people.
He was willing to work with M. Night when they paid him.
Oh, so that is true.
He likes money. Plus, Mel Gibson would want to torture people too. And he's a director. So I think it makes sense.
Maybe that's how it started. Maybe Mel Gibson worked with him, went on his ethnic rant. M. Night Shyamalan put him in one of his puzzles and he lived and survived. And so that's when M. Night Shyamalan took him under his wing again because he had learned his lesson.
That's okay.
Now,
that's
what's
where
the
it is.
Trap? What's the trap that he put him in originally, though? We got to think of something creative.
Oh, the trap is for Mel Gibson to appear in Lady in the Water 2 Electric Boogaloo. And this was at a low point in Mel Gibson's career. So he was willing to take the role, but then. Like, and then it becomes a big torture thing. And then Mel Gibson escapes and comes back. But we'll find out how Mel lured everybody else in. But then they all think that he's another person who's held captive. Do you want me to tell you now or should I wait?
Like how he, go ahead, just go.
Okay. So basically, cause Mel Gibson is a popular director to work with now. So what if he tried to cast all these people? What if he told all these people who's going to cast them in a movie and the table and they were going to go to the table read, but then something happens and then they're held captive.
They get kidnapped by Pigface.
Yes.
Ooh, what is that terrible movie that Mel Gibson directed after Passion of the Christ?
What was it about?
Was it the Mayan Apocalypse?
Oh, yeah, the Mayan Apocalypse movie. Yeah.
Oh, no, not Apocalyptica. Apocalyptica is a string-based Metallica cover.
I think it's
Apocalyptica. Apocalypto.
Apocalypto, that's it. Yeah.
I would watch a Mel Gibson movie about that, a Metallica cover band. Or maybe not a Mel Gibson movie, but a movie about that Metallica cover band.
Oh, this song's called Sugar Tits.
and then it's just this heavy riff where James Hetfield is shouting sugar tits for 15 minutes.
it's actually a remix of the sugar crisp jingle where it's, can't get enough of that sugar crisp. What do you What are you looking at? Sugar tits, sugar tits, sugar tits.
You came up with that remarkably fast, Sean. It's disturbing. Okay, so Mel Gibson and Jim Carrey, Nicolas Cage, and Kim Kardashian and Christian Bale are all in this, like, basement together.
And who is our final girl here? Like, who's the one that's, you know, that we're going to follow and is, you know, may or may not make it out?
Anne Hathaway?
Or like somebody who really doesn't deserve to be there, where it's like a case of mistaken identity.
Who would be Lindsay Lohan's equivalent? Like, that's not crazy.
Megan Fox?
No, she's crazy.
No, Megan Fox is a bitch.
And she has toe thumbs.
That's right, she does. Let's go.
Amy Adams?
Amy Adams is great. We're not putting her in this.
Well, that's the mistaken identity. She doesn't deserve to be there, right?
Okay, so wait. So the whole point of her not deserving to be there is that she's too good?
I think maybe it's sort of like they kidnapped the wrong person.
What if it's just some random person?
Oh my god, they grab somebody's stunt double.
Okay. what if they grab like Jennifer Lawrence's stunt double or something?
Yes!
And they all think it's actually her. And then Christian Bale's just like, that's not her, it's a stunt double. And then he keeps getting tortured.
All right, so we're following Jennifer Lawrence's stunt double, but, you know, most of these situations, they start off with a big first trap. So, you know, we've got, let's see here. Am I including Mel Gibson in this? Like, is he sort of like an undercover operative here, or is he, outside of the thing?
Let's have the whole crew in it at this
point. All right, so at this point, we've got 8 people, including Jennifer Lawrence's stunt double. In this big trap, what is this thing that they're
So is this going to be kind of like Saw 2 where they're all in the house?
I think it's going to start that way, like Saw 2 or Saw, I want to say 5, where they start off and they're chained to the wall being pulled towards the buzzsaws.
Right.
With the buckets on their head, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because my initial idea for torturing Nicolas Cage was to have him have to turn down a direct-to-DVD action movie that cost $2 to make.
So the other way that we could do this, there's really 2 ways to go about this here. It's that they either all start off in a big trap and basically the number slowly gets whittled down, like Josh and I were just talking about for Saw 2 and 5. Or we could take the Saw 3 approach, which is, as Josh and I refer to, slow-ass motherfucking Jeff. Big shout-out to Dead Meat. James and Rebecca, we love you. Chelsea, Rebecca, I mean. Oh, I'm such an asshole. So what they do there is that they follow this one guy as he goes from room to room and basically is given the option to save people who have done him some wrong. And those people are currently being punished for their wrongdoing. So are we, you know, following Jennifer Lawrence as she tries to rescue these people? Or are we, you know, basically watching them all get knocked off one by one?
I would say knocked off one by one.
Because if they're knocked off one by one, then in that scenario, they're all interacting with each other constantly.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's better.
Yeah, I think then what it could be is sort of like a Saw 2 or even the last one, Jigsaw, where it's, you know, the traps have people's names on them. And sort of by doing them, they get some sort of advantage. Or even it's something like, if you don't do this trap, everybody else dies. You know what I mean?
All right. So everybody gets their own trap to start.
I wanted to start with the first trap just to get it out of the way because Nicolas Cage is my specialty. So I think the first trap should be for Nicolas Cage, and he's strapped down to a chair at a desk, and he's got a pen glued to his hand, and the jigsaw tape rolls, and it's like, Nicolas Cage, you've starred in so many bad films. Can you resist signing one more? You have 60 seconds to resist signing the contract. What's the movie going to be?
Wicker Man 2.
You must resist signing the contract for Wicker Man 2. If you don't, your arms and legs will be ripped off. And you can see like his arms and legs are like hooked up to these hydraulic machines.
They should absolutely be already wrapped in wicker.
Yep.
That's been doused in gasoline and bees.
No. The torture is if he doesn't if he signs the movie, then he gets bees dumped on his head.
Yeah, and set on fire.
Yes. All right, so.
He gets if you sign up for the movie, you get to live the death of the movie to be a true method actor because you're just so addicted to your movie cause, you know. So in it's kind of poetic justice in that way.
So it starts doing like the iconic Saw camera movements where it's like shoots really fast around him and it's all jagged and he's like, ah, and he's like sweating and he's like trying so hard to stop his hand from signing the paper. And like right when he's about to make it, he just signs the paper and the bees flood in. Flames go up and he just, ah, you bitches!
Calling me won't break
not
back.
Not the bees! Not the bees!
Calling me won't break back. Your goddamn money.
And so Nicolas Cage is our first death.
Oh, we're already killing off Nicolas Cage early into this. Dang. Well, you know, at least he went off with a bang. Okay, so that should stunt. That should like.
That's like that our should sort be the opening sequence of the movie.
Yeah.
And then we come to our group who's all in, you know, this one room. And maybe they come across Nicolas Cage's burnt and stung body later.
Yeah. What is this? Oh, man. That happens
because the Saw movie always plays with different, you know,
time
with people being in different places at different times. So now we've got Mel Gibson, Jim Carrey, Roseanne, Lindsay Lohan, Gary Busey, Christian Bale, and what are we calling Jennifer Lawrence's stunt double?
Wait, who's the actress that looks just like her? There's an actress that looks just like her. I forget.
Zoe Deschanel?
No, Zoe Deschanel looks like Katy Perry.
Isla Fisher?
She looks like Amy Adams.
No. Who is the? Do you guys remember that movie where it was like all filmed in first person that came out a few years ago? It was like an action movie.
Yeah, the.
I don't remember who was in
Extreme.
It
was like.
It's not okay, real steel. It's
okay. Let's just say we've already got
whatever.
We've got like all right. So even after Nick Cage died, we have 8 people in this damn thing. So we should probably get on to how they're all being tortured.
Why don't we just call her not Jennifer? Because everyone will call her Jennifer, but she keeps saying, I'm not Jennifer.
That's perfect. Okay, so not Jennifer. Okay. And then nobody bothers to learn her name, except for Christian Bale. Christian Bale doesn't even bother to learn her name. He just says, oh, it's her stunt double. Or that was a terrible Christian Bale impression. I'm very sorry. I will punish myself with bees dumped on my head. Okay, so who's getting tortured next? Should we go to...
I want to kill off Roseanne Barr. I do.
All right, so she'll be our first group kill.
Did you just start hating her like the last couple of years when she got real weird with it?
No, okay, so she started having this show on... It was a reality show. It was horrendous. And I can't remember what it was called, but it was like, I'm fucking nuts with Roseanne Barr. And it was all about the fact that she had bought like a cashew nut farm in Hawaii or something.
It's Roseanne's Nuts.
Roseanne's Nuts. That's what it is. And I was like, how fucking low do you have to stoop? Like, at least Ozzy Osbourne, when he had a reality show, was fucking entertaining.
As he was suffering from a horrific addiction.
Fun fact, Roseanne's Nuts lasted 1 season and 16 episodes. It's also like her on a, it's...
I had never heard of this.
It's ridiculous and terrible, and she drives around in a golf cart. So what I would like to do for the just desserts for this bitch, she should be attached to wires suspended in the air. And every time she says something racist or stupid or mean or too fucking loud for no goddamn reason, it should lower her an inch. So she's up in the ceiling, and every time she fucking says something that's stupid, it gets lowered an inch. And eventually, when she says enough stupid shit, she sees on the bottom of the ground are a bunch of spikes and shit. And so literally, all you have to do, Roseanne, is not stoop any lower. But she keeps fucking running her mouth, and eventually she's slowly pierced and impaled by all of these like needles and knives and spikes because she can't shut her fucking mouth.
That's kind of works.
Is Mel Gibson in the group with them? Like, is he an undercover like Amanda is?
That's what we landed on. Yeah.
Yeah, he's undercover because he's M. Night's apprentice.
So he should be obviously like acting along with it. He should be trying to help Roseanne because he's also like super controversial.
An anti-Semite.
Yeah, an anti-Semite. Yeah. So he's like, try to resist Roseanne.
Listen, you have to take your mouth shut. I went on the press tour when I was nominated for the Oscar. I didn't say anything like that. You can resist. I believe in you.
And so the whole thing is that if she's able to keep her mouth shut, then, you know, eventually a timer will run out that will raise her safely up to, you know, where everybody else is currently bound. And then the door will unlock and they can keep going forward. But they're all currently tied up as well. So basically what they need to do is wait for her to either die, at which point they'll be free, or, you know, escape the trap, at which point they'll be free.
But to make things more complicated, can I just have a radio with Rush Limbaugh playing in the corner?
I was going to say, and with MSNBC on a television.
Yeah.
On like a shitty old, like, Jigsaw television.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just watching Rachel Maddow. Okay, so, all right. So that's Roseanne's torture. And she probably ends up getting killed, too. Pretty early on, just because she literally cannot resist just spouting off like that. And Christian,
I think what'll happen is she's got all these other people in the room, right?
Yeah.
And so they're trying to convince her, like, come on, Roseanne, you just have to last for like 10 minutes. Don't say anything mean or rude or too fucking loud for no reason for 10 minutes. And then we all will get like the keys to our release are like tied to her ankles or something. So that way she gets lowered to the ground. She can like get the keys and unlock all their shackles. They could go on to the next room. But if she dies and she gets impaled on the spikes, the keys wind up on the floor anyways, and they can go crawl and get them from her dead corpse to get out. So like either way, no skin off their back, but like one way the keys are covered in blood and they have to crawl through like spikes to get them.
Yeah,
so so the first 2 minutes she's lasting pretty good, but then something comes on MSNBC. And somebody in the group pipes up and is like, don't say anything, Roseanne. You know that you can resist. And she yells at him in a derogatory manner to tell him to shut up.
No, she's a QAnon person. So that should be a thing. Like she should just talk about that. And then
she could yell at Christian. It sounds like we're making Christian Bale as the sort of good guy here as well. And yeah. She could yell at him because he's an immigrant.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Yeah, he's from Wales. If you ever heard him talk, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he is from Wales.
And his stepmother, Gloria Steinem. Fun fact.
That's interesting. So she sees all kinds of controversial stuff on the TV, and she just can't help herself. So she slowly gets lowered into the spikes. What's the final thing she says that gets before she gets impaled?
I think like 2 inches above the spikes.
Yeah, I thought that bitch was white.
Yeah, I thought. Yeah. Yeah, her last thing is like, yeah, she just goes for it, and she just, yeah.
You know, at this point, for instance, Jim Carrey's a pretty forward thing guy. He goes, you know, none of this would have happened if you hadn't made that comment about Valerie Jarrett. I thought that bitch was white.
Splash. And then she just
and gets onto the spikes.
Yep, and then it's.
I love it.
That's, oh my God! All right, so Roseanne is dead. Nick Cage is dead. Who's next to be tortured? So like Christian Bale. His torture should be initially, like, here's how Christian Bale survives. So initially, Jigsaw M. Shyamalan tells Christian Bale that he has to take a role that doesn't involve him gaining or losing weight. And then Christian Bale's just like, oh, thank God, I'm tired of losing weight for my roles. That was a pain in the ass. And then eventually he's free. He's just there chilling out. And M. Night Shyamalan realizes he's screwed up. Because he didn't realize what was actually going to torture Christian Bale.
Okay. So, wait. So, does that trap happen in this house? Or does he send him back into this house because he realizes...
I think
Christian Bale to escape then?
Oh, yeah. So, I think, you know, Christian Bale escapes pretty early on. Or maybe not. Maybe that's not till later.
Yeah, because no one ever escapes in Saw. Like,
oh, here's a group scenario. Here's what should happen. Christian Bale, Jigsaw sets that for Christian Bale. Then he escapes, and then Jigsaw's just like, oh, shit, what do I do now? And then Mel Gibson secretly passes the note that in order to survive, Christian Bale has to watch Batman v Superman for 20 minutes without insulting it. And he can't make it, and eventually he dies.
And then while he's watching it, there has to be like shots of the sound guy like walking in the background that they added.
With the DVD commentary of Ben Affleck talking about, you know, what a great job he did.
Ben Affleck was the best part of that movie, but still not.
Oh, good for you.
All right. So Christian Bale fails to watch Batman v Superman, and now he's dead.
All right. So we killed Christian Bale. So each room Okay. I'm just trying to think. So each room is specific to each person.
Yes.
So in order for the group to move on, yep. a person has to live or die. Okay.
Right. So okay. I've got an idea for the next one. It just depends on whether or not we feel comfortable doing this yet, or if we think we can get more out of them. So I'm thinking that we can hijack a scene now from Saw 2, or rather a premise, where we open to a scene here where it's just a big empty room. You know, the door closes behind them. It's locked. And in front of, let's see how many people we've got remaining. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In front of the five people is a table with five needles. And Jigsaw M. Shyamalan comes over the intercom and says, "You can vaccinate yourself against this toxin. The needles are on the table. Don't worry, they're clean." So after somebody restrains Lindsay Lohan from trying to take all four of them take needles, except for one who seems rather uncomfortable, as Jim Carrey leads back and sort of is like, "Well, I'm not sure if I want to do this." Because Jim Carrey, as lovable as he is an anti-vaxxer. And so the question is going to become whether or not Jim Carrey can find it in himself to either take this vaccine, or whether somebody can basically, you know, hold him down and shoot him up, because that does happen sometimes. Sometimes people basically will, you know, force somebody to do the test for them, or otherwise, you know, force them to win in a weird way.
I was going to say, like, all the people, like, of all the people that are left, like, I would say Mel Gibson would be the one most capable of trying to hold him down, but maybe he's one of M, but if he's one of M. Night's subordinates, then would he want to hold him down?
That's a very good question. I mean, I think for him, he would not want to, because he's got to be able to show that is able to overcome this insanity. So I think he would think that he has to do it voluntarily.
Yeah. Let's say Gary Busey could absolutely do it. So Gary Busey's going to hold him down, I think, because he's got the power of insanity. Just be like, "Just take the vaccine so we can all live." And somebody should say, like, so, and Jim Carrey should be like, "Doesn't anybody in here also believe that vaccines cause autism?" And they're just like, "Somebody did, but Roseanne died."
That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so proud. I'm proud
all of right. So I just want to say something here. And Sean, you might know where I'm going with this, but I want there to be two people. I want there to be two people that survive by the end for the final trap. And I'll explain why when we get there, but I want Mel Gibson to die. Like, he doesn't actually die because he's Jigsaw's apprentice, but the group thinks he dies so whenever we get to his trap. But I just wanted to plant that there. So I do want two people to survive.
I see what you're getting at here, I believe.
So can we have Jennifer stunt double, like, in every so often room? Everyone's like, "We're all, you know, we're Hollywood actors. We have to stick together, blah, blah, blah." And she keeps, like, cautiously looking to the side, like, "Guys, I'm not who you think I am. I'm not a Hollywood actor." They're like, "Sure you are, Jennifer Lawrence. You're totally Jennifer Lawrence. Like, we know you.
We loved you in Silver Linings Playbook.
Don't be so modest."
And that raises a good point, because stunt doubles are usually in pretty good shape. So I see no reason why Jennifer Lawrence's stunt double can't wrestle down Jim Carrey while Gary Busey sticks him. Here's the other thing. Does Gary Busey, like, miss and, like, stab him in the face or something, or does he actually?
So Jennifer Lawrence's stunt double holds Jim Carrey down, and she tells someone to stab him with the vaccine, but Gary Busey accidentally gets him in the face with the
Gary
vaccine.
Busey, with the best of intentions, accidentally Jim kills Carrey him
in the fucking face.
At which point Jim Carrey goes and directs into the camera and says, "All righty then," and croaks.
It
should be the hammiest death scene ever, where he's just totally overacting.
And then
Mel Gibson just tells him, "Oh, tone it down. You always overacted."
Like that death scene in The Mask when he pretends to die as every famous Hollywood actor.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, it should be shot for shot that, basically.
Huh. Yeah. And then
Scarlet, I don't give a damn.
And then his face just contorts into all these different, like, you know, like his rubber face likes to do. It just contorts in all these different ways.
All right, so Jim Carrey's dead.
We killed Jim Carrey.
All right, and the door opens, and we still have Mel Gibson, Lindsay Lohan, Gary Busey, and Jennifer Lawrence's stunt double.
Yes, this is okay. So Lindsay Lohan, what should her thing be?
I was thinking cocaine, something cocaine involved.
Oh, this is one of these. Okay, so I made a joke a while back about this. One of these is a line of cocaine. The other is a line of dish detergent. One of the lines must be snorted in order for the door to open.
All right, I like this. This is perfect.
Oh gosh, that's right. Horrible.
Although, in fairness, I think that could also feasibly be Gary Busey.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
that's true. So should they fight over who gets to snort it? Wait, one person snort each person snorts one. Whoever snorts the dish detergent dies.
It's a dual test.
Yeah.
All right.
So do we want to do? So usually in a situation like this, what they'll do is they'll do like threes, because we saw this in the Jigsaw with the three needles, Josh, if you remember, where one was a vaccine, one was acid, and one was saline.
Yeah.
So you've got one that's like, you know, cocaine, one that's just like, you know, flour or something, which, you know, I imagine it would hurt, but it's not going to kill you. And then the last one is like, you know, rat poison or something.
Confectioner's sugar, because that would burn like a bitch, but you'd live.
Although it could also very well be like, you know, just like a bunch of drinks on a table if that's what you want to get with.
Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah.
One is acid, one is cyanide, one is water, and they're all clear and you can't tell.
Yep. Yeah. And then
I think I like the cocaine idea more.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So, like,
Gary Busey goes, I've seen this movie before, and he switches the lines of cocaine around. I switch lines when your back is turned.
What if Gary Busey accidentally does the dish detergent one, but he survives?
That would absolutely be something he would do. It's just he would snort both lines and be fine.
Yeah, he snorts both of them and he's just like, well, man, I just don't feel anything right now. What the hell's happening?
Nothing happens, and then M. Night Shyamalan shows up on the TV and goes, it's time for a twist, and then Lindsay Lohan's ankle bracelet electrocutes her.
Yeah, there you go. Like, yeah,
what did the dish detergent have to do with that? Yeah, nothing.
It was a twist.
It was a twist. And then Gary Busey says, that was a worse twist than Lady in the Water. And then Gary Busey gets electrocuted, but he survives.
Because you can't kill Gary Busey.
Wait a minute. That's what Gary Busey has to be the one who survives, because you can't kill Gary Busey.
All right, so
he can make it to the end. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, he can make it to the end. Yeah. We need one more person to make it to the end. So Lindsay Lohan's dead.
Yeah.
She cued it, even though this trap was for her.
All right, so we got Mel Gibson, Gary Busey, Kim Kardashian, and Jennifer Lawrence's stunt double.
Okay.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Can we kill Kim Kardashian next?
Absolutely, we can kill Kim Dark Kardashian. What do you have in mind?
So from what little I know about her.
Yes.
Can you sit on this chair and not break it?
Can you resist taking a selfie of yourself with your ass sticking out for 2 minutes?
Yeah, I'll say something like to the effect of, okay, Kim, you have to use this camera and post a selfie of yourself. But if you attempt to Photoshop it at all, and then something will come out of the wall and cut that off of you.
Okay.
Ooh.
I like that.
I was going to say, we'll replace your phone with a Galaxy S7 and it'll blow up.
Let's go with that.
Does Kim Kardashian actually have a giant ass?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So what if we had a thing where she had to crawl through something, but her ass was too big? Limbo.
It's just a game of limbo.
Yeah.
Although I do like, so she has to do that, but then at the end is the phone where she has to take the selfie. So it's sort of like it's sort of like at the end of Double Dare 2000 where you had to go through the obstacle course.
So she has to crawl through something with her ass sticking out. She's able to scrunch it down just enough to get through, even if it does rip her favorite yoga pants. Because of course she wears her favorite yoga pants to this. But then she has to take the phone selfie, and then she sees that she looks terrible and just wants to. And because she would like, because
she tore her pants when she was crawling through the thing.
Can I take this and M. Night Shyamalan twist it a little fucked up?
Do it.
Okay, so get this. In the room, M. Night Shyamalan Jigsaw comes on and says, this room is for the most impressive woman in the room. And it's this huge obstacle course, right, that she has to run. And if she makes it to the end successfully, then the key to the room so they can move on is waiting there. And so, of course, J-Law's stunt double is like, oh, this is death for me because I can run this course and I can get the key. But Kim Kardashian is like, oh, no, I'm the most important woman in this room. So obviously this must be for me. So she runs through the entire obstacle course, badunka-dunking her entire way somehow to half-hearted success, gets to the end, takes a selfie of herself, realizes that she's all sweaty and gross, and says, well, I guess I'm going to have to run it again and look pretty this time. So she jumps off the platform to try to run it again to find a better angle for her selfie. And in doing so, drowns in, like, you guys have seen the floor is lava, right? Like that.
Yeah.
That, yeah. So part of the obstacle course is like over water or something. And she falls and drowns with her cell phone. And it'll, and because it's a Samsung Galaxy S7, it electrocutes her in the water.
But her butt floats.
She floats ass up, and that's how you know she's not a witch.
Yep.
All right, so Kim Kardashian, death by selfie and ass drowning.
Selfie and also hubris, because that
drowning.
Because that room was not for her. So
no, it wasn't.
So the key is still up there on the platform, and now they're like, fuck, how are we going to get it? And that's when J-Law's stunt double is like, okay, I'm just going to go get the fucking key. And she, like, with no sweat off her back, goes and gets the key, and they can go into the next room. Kim Kardashian's dead ass, just like floating along in one of the ponds.
There, all right, well, all right. Okay. So that means that there's a separate challenge for Kim that Jennifer Lawrence's stunt double would have to do.
Yes, and can she pass it? Because she's not her.
Yes.
I would say yes, but the way that she does it is using Kim Kardashian's floating ass as a springboard.
So what is it, a trampoline or something?
Yes, like, it's all the silicone.
Oh god.
All right, so wait, who's left? So we have Mel Gibson, not Jennifer Lawrence, and Gary Busey.
Those are the only three left.
And Gary Busey. Yeah. So okay. All right. So what I think should happen is I want Mel Gibson to die in this next trap, and I'll explain why when we get to the next room. But we have to come up with, but he's not actually going to die because he's Jigsaw's apprentice. So how's Mel Gibson going to fake die?
Maybe he has to appear in a movie, or maybe he has to direct a movie that doesn't involve violence. Like, it's a nice Wes Anderson style, like, quirky comedy. And he has to, like, and he has to read the script for that and not add any violence in.
However, he was in Daddy's Home too.
Oh, that's right. He was in Daddy's Home too, which is so weird. Yeah, that him being in like lighthearted family comedies is just insane to me.
Yeah, when do we decide we were just going to forgive him? Like, that's bizarre. Like, he really, you know, he was a pariah for several years, and then it was just kind of like, okay, now he's nominated for the Oscars again.
But like, once he started making people money, nobody gave a shit. It's sad.
Yeah.
If he's willing to be in comedies for money, what is torturous to him? What's like
when his integrity is questioned?
Oh, okay. So it should be an
control.
Editor takes a cut of Passion of the Christ 2 and tones down some of the violence, and he's just like, no.
So how about this? Taking that and piggybacking off of Connor's idea, they go into the next room. Suddenly, out of nowhere, these clamps come on, and they clamp around Mel Gibson's neck and wrists. And out of the corner comes the editor for Passion of the Christ. And he's talking about the censorship and trying to edit it down and making it more of a family-friendly, fun film. And every time a cut is made and his blood pressure goes up, Jigsaw M. Shyamalan on the wall has like one of those old timey thermometers. And every time his blood pressure rises, because he gets more and more pissed off, if it gets to a certain pressure, the clamps will strangle him to death because he feels like he's being strangled by the creative process. He can't just run free with it. So just when they talk about maybe Jesus breaks out into a fun song and dance, that's when
always,
you know,
look on the bright side.
You know, instead of just be like, Mel, listen, babe, honey, sugar tits, this is the Hollywood 2020. Like, we have to make this a more family friendly film. I mean, do you know how many families go to church in this country? We can't show them Jesus all bloody and gory. What are they going to think of their Messiah? That's awful. We have to make him more of a fun-loving guy. We got to sell this, baby. Sell it. So I think...
He liked me as the editor. Yeah. I was going to say, his counter would be that the original Passion of the Christ made $622 million.
This is the toned down version, you know, like they've made movies that are super, super gory, and then they've come back and like they've made like family friendly ones. I think didn't they do that with Deadpool? I hope my mother never listens to this podcast. Didn't they also do that with that Pirates porno? Like, it was spent so much money on it, they took all the porn out of it and just made it a movie.
You know what? They absolutely did, and I'll tell you how I know that, because one time when I was much younger than I am now, I went to Blockbuster Video when that was a thing and not just an Airbnb in Los Angeles, California. And so I had gone with my father and my brothers, and I decided that I wanted Pirates of the Caribbean. So I got it off the shelf, ran it up to my father, and just as my father was handing it over to the cashier, he looked at it and said, Sean, are you sure this is the one that you're looking for? And he handed it back to me. I was like, huh, I didn't remember so many women being in this cast.
Oh God!
Needless to say, it was stocked right next to Pirates of the Caribbean, which I think is fantastic marketing.
That's kind of horrifying. Okay, so here's what it was: Mel Gibson gets in. Okay, so Disney bought the rights to Passion of the Christ because they buy the rights to everything. They own everything. Correct. They own all of us. So yes, they want to make Passion of the Christ 2. This time, it's personal. A more family-friendly film, like more marketable, to get it over $1 billion, not just $620 million. So then Mel Gibson argues with them, but each cut of the edit for Passion of the Christ 2, The Last Crusade, is
that's of course a terrible, it is.
You know what? I would go with it if it wasn't already taken as a title.
Right in the middle of all that, they're talking about like the fun-loving number that Jesus is going to sing in lieu of getting crucified, you know, so the kids can stay and entertain and engage with lots of fast movement and color. And that's when his blood pressure just like skyrockets and he just lets out that roar, like that Mel Gibson, give me back my son, like type of fucking Mel Gibson roar. And that's when his blood pressure spikes and the clamp on his neck and wrists clamp down and his heart fucking explodes in his chest. Not just from his artistic integrity, but also from the pressure that was put on every major artery and vein from the metal clamps.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So he's dead.
Now, the twist at the end is that the clamps that he was faking it, the clamps actually didn't clamp down, like they were soft on the inside or something.
Right? Yeah.
Well, yes, because he has so much experience with fake blood on Passion of the Christ, he was able to assist the engineer in all of using all of that fake blood to make it look like he actually had died.
And also, perfect. we should have him with a conversation with M. Night Shyamalan at the end of the movie, and they just laugh like, Disney buying Passion of the Christ.
Yeah, it should be like, ha! Good one, M. Night, yeah, about all of that stuff about how you didn't like Passion of the Christ and how you would have changed this. That was a good one. You really got me there. And he looked at me, oh no, I meant it.
Well, this depends. Yeah. This depends if Mel Gibson lives after this next trap.
Okay, but like, what would be funny is if Mel Gibson, like the end of the Saw movie, is just Mel Gibson going, no! And then it's the Disneyfied version of Passion of the Christ. Oh goodness!
All right, I'm excited for this. Can I lead the next trap?
Go ahead.
Heck yeah! So we have Gary Busey, right? Gary Busey and Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
Okay. Jennifer Lawrence is stunt double.
Okay. So I forget which Saw movie this is. Maybe you know, Sean. But at the end, the two people make it to the end. And in order to get out of the room before the nerve gas or whatever kills them, they have to put their arm in this device that cuts their arm open and it fills the tank with blood. And then they realize that there was like five or six holes, meaning that if they had gotten the rest of the crew that died throughout the movie there, they would be able to get out of the room successfully because everyone could just shed like a lower amount of blood. So what I want to do is a similar trap where they make it to the end. And there's a device. It could be something similar where they have to. Here's what we'll do. It's computers where you have to sign into your bank account and you have to give your entire net worth, and it adds up. It adds up to a total, and if they don't get to that total within like 2 minutes, then the nerve gas kills all of them. So they realize that they don't have enough net worth because it's Gary Busey, and then it's Jennifer Lawrence's stunt double. but if they had helped the rest of the cast survive, they would have been able to get enough money. But the twist, Mel Gibson comes out, and it's revealed that he faked his death, whatever, and he's working with Jigsaw, and then they need to somehow force him to sign into his bank account and give his net worth, and maybe that'll be enough. And they kill him in the process somehow.
Yeah. So, okay. So it's, so his net worth is $425 million. So
really,
yeah, he's loaded.
That's the shocking twist at the end. That's how they're going to survive.
Yeah. All Mel Gibson's money.
And it is important to remember, that's a Saw 5 trap. I was just scrolling through Wikipedia to make sure I had the number right, is that they do survive that trap in the end. They are able to make it. The one guy, Malik, is in a support group in a later movie, and he's missing a hand.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
right.
So Mel Gibson's back, and he enters his number, and then what? Does he just like snap Gary Busey's neck, or what's the situation?
Let's go.
Well, so I'm thinking, well, so Mel Gibson comes back and he's like ready to kill them off or something. But then they attack him to force him to put his credentials into the computer. So that way it adds up to the right net worth.
Maybe they trick him by making fun of like Apocalypto or something and say, that didn't make any money, right? That didn't make, and he's like, no, yeah, it did. No, I don't think it did. I heard on Rotten Tomatoes that it didn't. And that's when he gets really mad. He says, I'll prove it. I'll log into my bank account personally and I'll show you how much money I got from that. And that's how they trick him.
All right, there we go. That worked. Nice. I like that. I'll go with that. All right.
So he signs in. They get enough net worth. And then do they kill Mel Gibson?
They should think he's dead. He should fake his death, and then they escape, and then he survives. And it's revealed that he is in cahoots with M. Night Jigsaw Shyamalan.
Wait, so he's going to fake his death twice then? That's totally something M. Night Shyamalan would do.
Oh, yeah, M. Night Shyamalan wouldn't have just one death, one fake death.
It's a horrible twist, and he would absolutely do it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, so maybe God, when Mel Gibson realizes that his fortune was transferred to the pot that helps let these people out, he fakes a heart attack.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Perfect.
Because all his money is gone now.
Yeah. It's like, oh, no. And then, so should Mel Gibson be penniless at the end of it?
I don't think so, because he's working with Jigsaw. So can he get it back?
Oh, yeah. He can get it back. Oh, yeah. Because the money went to Jigsaw. So Jigsaw just gives him the money back.
Or maybe, you know, he's like, yeah, you're going to give me that money back, right? And Jigsaw just looks, you know, M. Night Shyamalan just looks into the computer, right? M. Night? MK?
MK. So, and then M. Night's just like, well, I can give it to you if you want to appear in a script of mine. What's the script? What script? Signs 2? No. Lady in the Water 2? No. And it's the sequel to Last Airbender, and he has to play the Fire Lord. Maybe it's Lady in the Water 2. Maybe M. Night makes him appear in Lady in the Water 2 to get all his money back. Or The Happening 2.
You saw what happened to Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
He doesn't want it to happen to him.
Oh, yeah. So he has to. So we. Yeah, that's what happens. I like that. So he has to appear in The Happening 2.
All right. So do we want to end the movie with, like, do they end up interacting with M. Night Shyamalan in person? Like, are we going to try to kill M. Night Shyamalan? Are we going
to... I think the other two just want to escape. But then it's like, but then right before they escape, Jigsaw reveals that it's actually M. Night Shyamalan.
Okay. And because it's, there's a very specific way that they end every single Saw movie. And we need to figure out how we can make that happen, because every Saw movie ends with the phrase game over.
Well, so, okay. So what if we tie it like this? So the reason why he wanted all the money in the bank account was to fund
the
Happening too.
It was just a big extortion scheme.
Yeah. In order for, so then they go to escape, and M. Night Shyamalan appears in front of them with Mel Gibson, and the only way that they can escape is if they agree to sign on to be in the movie. And he still thinks that it's Jennifer Lawrence and not Jennifer Lawrence's stunt double. So then what should we do then? So should they sign? What should they do?
They're on the, like, Mel Gibson is sad on the set of The Happening too. And he's just like, game over. And then it's
he gets a call from his agent saying his agent's letting him go. Sorry, Mel. Oh, it's game over.
You just revived your career improbably, but then you did this. Game over. And that's our movie.
Oh God, what a shit show. This was awesome.
That was insane.
But
that
Gary Busey inexplicably lived.
Wait. Just so we can fuck with the timelines, on their way out, after Jigsaw, M. Night Shyamalan Jigsaw is going to let them go, they pass by a room wherein they can hear Nicolas Cage begging for his life.
Yep, exactly.
Because we've reversed. So, like, we pass it, and Nicolas Cage is actually, we see that he's the first to die, but in timeline reality, he's actually the last to die.
Yeah, okay.
I love that. That's okay. So Saw-like.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So it's just like nobody knows what actually happened.
And Mel's like, well, why'd you do that? He wasn't going to give you, he doesn't have any money. And he was, and my challenger shrugs, amusement.
Because that's because M. Night, we made M. Night a sociopath. It's kind of amazing.
Now, for the post-credits scene, I don't think they really do this in Saw, but whatever, to show that M. Night Shyamalan hasn't stopped and he's going to continue making shitty movies and, like, putting actors in traps, we have David Hasselhoff eating a cheeseburger drunk on the floor. And then the final scene is just Pigface coming in and kidnapping him.
Oh, God.
but dragging him off really slowly and, like, being out of breath.
Yeah.
That's perfect. That's perfect. That's the perfect end. This was our most messed up movie yet, and that is saying a great deal. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of Let's Remake a Movie. And, Connor, play us out.
I've captured the craziest actors in the land. Mel Gibson, Nick Cage, even Roseanne. If you want to escape my traps alive, you'll have to torture yourselves with tasks you despise. Roseanne's gotta stop saying stupid things. You're all my puppets, and I'm pulling your strings. My games will destroy each one of you. Nick Cage, you'll have to turn down Wicker Man too. Would you like to play a game? A sick, twisted game. After it's over, you'll never be the same. Audition for my movie. You're next on my list. It'll be my ultimate, final plot twist. Now my games will get really mean. Jim Carrey, you're gonna have to take a vaccine. Mel Gibson, you'll just sit there and scream as I edit Passion of the Christ to make it PG-13. Kim Kardashian, you'll take an unedited selfie. You can't edit your ass. Oh, the humanity. Christian Bale thinks he can escape this madman. I'm gonna make him watch Ben Affleck play Batman. Would you like to play a game? A sick, twisted game? After it's over, you'll never be the same. Audition for my movie. You're next on my list. It'll be my ultimate final plot twist. My twisted games will tear apart your soul, controlling your every move. That's my goal. But who is it conducting this master plan? It's not Jigsaw. It's M. Night Shyamalan. I'm sick of making flops and getting kicked around. Back in Sixth Sense, I was the toast of the town. But then they got bored with me and said I was a hack. But when they see this, M. Night will be back. Would you like to play a game? A sick, twisted game. After it's over, you'll never be the same. Audition for my movie. You're next on my list. It'll be my ultimate final plot twist. Game over. Game over. Game over. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Remake a Movie. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you want to support us, like, subscribe, and if you're listening on Apple, rate us 5 stars. We're available on all major platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Let's Remake a Movie, and send us your ideas for which movies we should remake next. Thank you so much, and see you next time.